Hi, welcome to the Bowen Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Chris Reed, and I'm talking the buzz on Bowen therapy for therapists, clients, educators, or anyone interested in the soft tissue industry. The show where we get to meet interesting Bowen practitioners, trainers, and where we get to hear from experts sharing their secrets to assist Bowen therapists growing their businesses and growing their lives. Hi, and welcome to the Bowen Buzz. Today we get to meet Susan Marty. Susan is a Bowen practitioner from Coffs Harbour, New South Wales, here in Australia. Welcome, Susan.
Thanks, Chris.
Susan, you're a Bowen therapist in Coffs Harbour.
Yes.
How long have you been here?
Been in Coffs just over 2 years.
2 years, and you come from?
Previously from Mudgee.
You got a bit of an accent. Is that a Mudgeean accent that I'm picking up there?
No, this accent's from Young.
From Young?
Yeah.
Where's Young?
New South Wales.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. When I move to Mudgee, where are you from? Go Young. It's kind of a joke.
Oh.
Because obviously it's not from Young.
Where's it from?
East Coast, the United States of America.
East Coast, United States of America.
Yes.
Okay.
New England.
New England?
New England.
The only thing I know about New England is they have a football team.
Patriots.
Yes.
They won.
They did.
No, they didn't.
They're good.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you. They also have the Hartford Whalers, which is a great hockey team. Ah. Never great, but fun to watch.
Okay. So you come from Young. No, actually, you don't actually come from Young. You come from Mudgee, but previous to that, you came from
Young.
New England, United States.
Well, 20 years ago, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you left there 20 years ago.
Yes.
And travelled.
Yes. Ended up in Alice Springs. And then from Alice went up to Darwin, then Catherine, Darwin, Nullumboy.
Mm-hmm.
Got tired of the weather and got a job with New South Wales Department of Agriculture and moved to Orange. And then got transferred about 11 months later to Young.
Okay, hang on. Can we go back a step? How did you get a job with New South Wales Agriculture?
Oh, because in America I studied agronomy, so plant and soil science. I had a bachelor's of science in agronomy, which, you know, came to Australia and started working in horticulture as a horticultural extension officer or technical officer up in the Northern Territory.
So you're working for Agriculture New South Wales?
Yes.
In country New South Wales?
Yes.
Okay. And where did that lead to?
Led to kind of all over the world. Worked with cherry and prune growers. Did a bit of traveling for that. And then transferred, got tired of living in Young, transferred to Mudgee. And it was while I was in Mudgee that, I don't know, things changed with the growers. They kind of, like, so I was, growers would come to me, like I was like the middleman almost, or a information liaison in a way. So between growers and government, kind of interpreting what growers want to do and what government wants them to do, working in programs and different projects. And it just kind of got to where growers wanted a quick fix. You know, something was going wrong with their crop, and, you know, I look at it from, you know, a bottom up, like you need to look at what the soil is doing and what the environment is that the crops are growing in, and you need to fix it from a base level. But they just, you know, kind of wanted that pill of like, can't you just give me a chemical, like a name of a chemical that I can spray to fix the symptoms?
Right.
And not really wanting to work on the issues or the causes. And I guess I just got kind of tired of that. And so I wanted to start working with people that wanted to work with themselves and help themselves.
Yeah.
And I had Bowen from a friend that I'd done some other different types of courses with. And I liked that it wasn't difficult. Like, it wasn't difficult on the practitioner or on the client. Like, I liked that it kind of worked within everyone's ability to heal and to manage.
Okay.
Manage
it's almost like there's a bit of a similarity there between what the growers were wanting. They wanted a magic pill and they wanted just, can I spray this and fix it? But really what needed to happen was something basic needed to happen. Things needed to change, which was more than just that easy fix.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's almost a bit like, Bowen's a bit like that too, isn't it? You know, some people want to go to the doctor and get a pill.
Yeah.
Or maybe sometimes other modalities just want to give someone a pill and give them a quick fix.
And also just fix the symptoms,
okay.
Not actually look at what's systemically wrong with what's going on.
Okay. And that works.
It does. Totally works. Yeah.
Okay. How did you hear about Bowen in the first place? Like, it's not something that would, you know, I mean, Mudgee. Is there many Bowen practitioners in Mudgee?
No. Well, this was in Young that I met this woman I was doing some other healing courses with, and she was studying Bowen alongside with these other modalities. And she had a practice in Young, and I went, and she did some Bowen on me. And I, you know, so she did a few moves and left. And I think she's like working around like hormonal stuff and I don't know. I'd never kind of come across something that was so gentle yet kind of profound,
okay.
I suppose, as far as a bodywork goes. And when I was looking for a change, like I've always been interested in natural health and healing.
So you're interested, obviously, in the area.
Yeah, from like my 20s, you know, and nutrition and how things work together. You know, we're not just one, like we can't kind of just compartmentalize because we need to be aware of the food that we're eating and how we, like what we take into our bodies, you know, input and output and how they can balance and one affects the other.
Mm.
It's not really in isolation. Nothing's kind of in isolation. So when I realized that I just can't work with people that don't want to actually help themselves, and not all of them are like that, but and I thought about doing massage, but then, you know, I was getting, you know, older and thought that's really hard on your body, and I wasn't quite certain that the anatomy and physiology would be something that I would be good at or
enjoy. Although you had a science background.
Yeah, again, that was kind of something that I was pushing my boundaries. So I remembered Bowen, and I'd looked into it a few times, and it just was never the right time. And then, moved to Mudgee and decided I wanted a change, and I was in the space where that change would be supported on a number of levels, and sent an email to Ann Schubert and Paul Tuohy.
Okay.
Like they were kind of, you know, so one was kind of going one direction, Dubbo area, and the other was Foster, and I was kind of in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Didn't hear back from Paul. Heard back from Ann. She was overseas doing Mind Body Bowen. And she got back to me and said, yeah, I've got a course going, you know, in May. Like, so almost 7 years ago, I think.
Okay.
And I didn't hear from Paul because he had some health issues.
He was unwell,
So I did finally hear from him, but it was about 3 months later, and I was already kind of well into my Cert 4 and enjoying it. Loved it, yeah.
Great. So you started a practice in
Mudgee. Yep, quit my job.
Quit your job.
That was kind of stupid. I really didn't transition that well at all, but that's okay.
Okay.
I needed to.
It sounds like you're really looking for a change.
I was really looking for a change, and I was in this government job, great pay, loved it. Like I loved it. Like it was a perfect job for me for so long, but then at a certain point, I kind of got bored, and you know, and I couldn't facilitate the change that I knew I could facilitate, not should facilitate, but I knew I wasn't doing as much as I could to help. And I kept saying to my boss, like, I'm really bored. Like, you need to give me something where I can actually feel vital and useful. And he'd go, oh, don't tell anybody you're bored. God, we'll give you work to do. And I'm like, I'm asking for work.
Yeah. You weren't being fulfilled, were you?
I wasn't being fulfilled. I wasn't.
But
like,
that takes a lot of courage to leave a job like that. It's like jumping off a cliff and saying, I hope this parachute that someone else packed for me here that, you know, works.
I would never do that. I was lucky. Like I could do it. And I would love to say, I never look back. And I, you know, but I have often looked back, and it's been, 6 years now, I think, that I've been doing Bowen, like left the government job and been doing Bowen, or 6, 7 years, whatever. And I wouldn't change it, but it certainly hasn't gone how I had hoped or wanted, I guess.
Starting a Bowen practice is hard, isn't it?
It's very hard. It is very hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
And obviously some people find it easier than others, perhaps. You know, and there's different roads. We can all be looking to the same direction, but we take a different road. And some roads are rockier than others, and some take the long way. Do you know what I mean? Other people seem to get a shortcut, you know. But at the end of the day, it's still takes work. It's not a golden ticket.
Yeah. And it's so when I started Bowen, I was in Mudgee, and we didn't, you know, my husband and I didn't want to stay in Mudgee. Like, we knew that wasn't kind of where we would be for long term.
Yep.
So in the back of my mind, I'm going, I don't really want to build up this really strong business and then be really torn.
Yep.
Because I knew we were going.
So you weren't really putting it out there say to the universe, hey, I'm going to build a really strong Bowen business in Mudgee. Because wasn't happening.
I knew I was going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Righto.
And so then it's been a little, you know, transitional moving to Coffs. And finally now, 2 years into it, kind of feel like, no, we are going to stay. And the universe, you know, can hopefully move in and support that decision. And
sometimes it's about mindset, isn't it? You know, it's like if we have a goal and say, okay, and sometimes if we say to ourselves, this is what's going to happen now, the steps we take, even subconsciously, take us in that direction. But if we haven't got that goal, or haven't set that target, then we don't set up we don't take the right steps. Decisions come along and we haven't got a real, it's like having the, you know, you want to get to a certain destination, you come to a signpost and there's three ways to go. If you're not exactly sure where you're going, you could take the long way, couldn't you?
Yeah, you can. But I think in those situations, when you come to that, the important thing is going, like taking.
Keeping moving forward.
Yeah, even like like it's circular, you know. We think that we go from point A to point B, but really, our lives aren't linear; they're circular. And so, there is no wrong direction. It certainly, my life is nothing like I ever thought it would be. But that's not to say it's not perfect.
Yeah. Well, if it's perfect as
this
you make it.
What it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. It's cool. So you're really thinking now Coffs Harbour's the place, Coffs Harbour's home?
Yeah, Coffs, you've been here a couple of days. You see how beautiful it is.
It is beautiful.
The ocean.
You're right. The rain stopped and now it's nice.
Yeah, but see, I was 7 years of drought. Like, anywhere I moved to, I would bring drought behind me.
Right.
And so I moved here.
As an agronomist, that's probably not a good thing.
I know. Yeah. I can't believe they didn't kick me out of Young like 5 years earlier than they did. So I made a pact with myself when I lived in Young that I would never, ever complain about rain or abundance of rain again, because it is soul destroying being like watching the farmers and what they went through.
Right.
And what they continue to go through, you know, it's the driest continent. And so I love the rain. And even though we just had 30 days of rain, it's still beautiful to me. It's beautiful.
Great.
Just having green is just life enhancing. Yeah.
Well, this is a green place.
It's a very green place.
I mean, when I was here 20 odd years ago, it was full of bananas. And now it's full of blueberries. So it's blue and
it's
green.
It's gone from yellow to blue.
Yellow to blue, which is nice.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we're building a Bowen practice here in Coffs Harbour.
Yes.
And that's terrific.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's awesome.
And you're enjoying your Bowen?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. And, like I said, coming into like 7 years, you know, since I started training, and I am really energized by the courses. Like, you've been up here doing the Bow in the Back and Beyond for the past couple of days, and that has just opened, I love the different teachers and what they offer, because it just kind of opens up different, not ideas so much as just ways to look at how you work and whether or not you take it on. Like, you know, you had said at the beginning, even if you just take one thing home, and that's kind of how I look at these things. You know, it can't be 100% of something that you take on, because it takes time to integrate. And things like Kelly Clancy's recent class and Tensegrity, and just the diversity that we're getting now, and the fascia, the work around that, and that it's not just, I don't know, we're broadening how we think about how our work affects the body.
Yeah.
That's exciting. It's really exciting to be a Bowen therapist at this time.
It is. I mean, Bowen's such a young modality when you think about it, right? It's just, it's in its infancy.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, it's a toddler.
It's a toddler.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Say it's a toddler.
It's a toddler. And toddlers are rather unsteady on their feet, and they're really trying to find their way and all that. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be exciting once it becomes a teenager because it's going to get rambunctious at that point.
I think it's almost getting to that, isn't it? Like
So push the boundaries a bit, yeah. That's great. Now, I've noticed in your house here a number of artworks.
Yes.
So you have a bit of an artistic bent.
Yeah, this is something that came to me later in life. So when I moved to Mudgee, because I was one of those kids like brought up, creativity was not part of my life. It was okay to be smart, but not creative. That was valued.
Right.
And, you know, smart and education and all of that. Not saying that's a bad thing, but our creativity was never fostered. So when I moved to Mudgee, I don't play sports, don't have kids, like, you know, those things where you come into a community to kind of meet other people. I don't tend to have those things. Anyway, that's kind of a long way around that. But I saw these art classes, like this art studio, and I thought, I'm going to take art classes. So I started just like with drawing, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
So you found you're good at it?
It doesn't even matter.
Was it like a hidden talent, do you think?
Well, you know, I had the best teacher ever because she was young. Like, she looked like she was about 14. She's like maybe 28 or something. I don't know. But she looked really young. She was remarkable because she would go, oh, do you see how you've done that? Like, I love that you've done, like, it was all about the positive. I love how you've brought those chartreuse colors that don't quite match, but you kind of, the way you've joined them, they kind of do. Oh, you know, it might look like baby vomit to someone else, but she would bring out.
She could find the beauty in it.
She would totally find the beauty in it. And so it was all positive reinforcement. There was no, that's not good enough. No judgment, nothing. It was all about, and I just like, wow, people can be like this? Like, they can actually.
Mm. Sounds like we need more teachers like that.
Totally. Mm. She was just everything. She was just amazing, amazing, amazing. So I credit her for, she kept saying, like, I love lino printing. Like, that was, I never lino printed as a child. And people would go, I used to do that as a kid. I'm like, I never did.
Yeah, well, people might remember lino printing because it was like, you get a piece of lino and you carve bits of the lino out in lines or whatever using those V-shaped little carvers or a little hollow carver or something. And then you, put a roll of paint over it.
Yep.
And then you press down paper or a canvas or something. And
and it's a reverse.
It's a reverse
thingy
of the print. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember doing that in about, grade four or something.
Yeah. So when I do those, and mine are quite simple, but people see them and they smile. They go, oh, I remember doing that as a kid. And so everyone, I went crazy with lino. And every time I did one, she's like, oh, that would make a really good card, you know? And so I have this, 20 different designs that are cards, but nobody writes anymore. So I have, hundreds of cards that I've made. So if anybody, wants some writing cards, let me know.
Cool.
But, yeah, so that's been
fun. So you got this artistic
fun.
Bent. Now, what is the Ocean Oracle?
Okay, so the Ocean Oracle, for those, are you familiar with tarot decks?
Cards? I've seen tarot cards, yeah.
Okay, so that's, they're not tarot.
Right.
Sort of like how Bowen, people think it's massage. Well, Bowen isn't massage. Mm-hmm. It's its own thing, but you can kind of liken it to something like massage. So oracle decks are kind of like that. They're not tarot, but they're that same, they're a deck of cards.
So are they a genre? They are something that people produce, an oracle deck?
Yeah, there's tons of oracle decks.
What does it mean? Can you give us a definition? I've got no idea. If I'm coming from Mars, what's an oracle deck?
Well, on Mars, there's actually... No, kidding.
Really?
So it comes like the term oracle, I believe, comes from the Oracle of Delphi, where people would travel great distances to ask the oracle a question.
Okay.
And the response from the Oracle of Delphi, which was a place, Delphi... was often not shadowed and not hidden, but kind of obtuse.
Almost like a riddle.
Like a riddle, thank you. Yeah, like a riddle. So that allows whoever hears that answer, to interpret it exactly how they need to interpret it.
Right.
So you can, like, you can read the same thing that I read, and because of what's going on for you, your interpretation or what you hear or see or feel will be completely different to what, even though the words are the same,
yeah,
but to what I need to get. So it's okay. About messages and how your brain, like, how it kind of takes that in. And so I created this Ocean Oracle deck. It's 45 cards around ocean theme, I suppose.
Why was it weird? Why was it ocean theme and not trees or blueberries?
Don't get me started on the trees. No, because there are a lot of oracle decks around trees.
Oh, okay.
There were none around the ocean. But I just felt drawn to do this because I know the power of the ocean to heal. And the ocean has always been my healing
place. This is
once
you came to Coffs Harbour?
No, this is from like ages ago.
Oh, okay.
So the ocean has always been my place to... I mean, the ocean is healing. Like the negative ions, the sand between your toes, just the massage effects, the water, the salt water, all of that. And it just was one of those things that came to me one morning in meditation, like while I was in Mudgee. You tried an oracle deck. It's about the ocean. And it just came. So
you did.
So I did. And so...
How do you start something like that?
Well, I guess people would maybe call it, I channeled it, which I don't consider myself a channel, but I suppose in some regards we're all channels. And the cards, like, so I had 44 originally, and so it was sort of like a sandbar. Like they came, like the what they were came really quickly, just the names and what they meant, the
right.
numbers, names, and what they meant.
Okay.
Eventually went to 45. And then I spent about 6 months just kind of sitting with each one and writing the story. So I use story because that kind of bypasses, it doesn't bypass cognitive function, but we're storytellers. We're all storytellers. Yeah. And story has such a power to heal.
Mm.
And by telling stories, again, like you take what, like you can read a story however many times, and each time you're going to read or hear or feel something different.
Different, yeah.
So I use story as the beginning, and it can be something quite personal, you know, mm. and they vary. They're not, all the stories aren't framed the same way.
Right.
They're all framed quite differently.
Yep.
And then after that, I've put in messages, so quite direct, hopefully relevant, just for you, like for readers or seekers, whatever,
mm.
to kind of contemplate or think about or... And, you know, there might be 5 different types of messages, you know, are you doing this? Are you not doing that? Whatever. And generally, at least one of them will resonate. So it's about that resonation with or resonating with something that's going on in your life.
Right. Just sort of brings that forward and helps you to sort of maybe bring some clarity to it.
Absolutely.
Perhaps,
yeah. It's about clarity. It's about
running around your head, perhaps. Or...
Like we have everything within us that we need, but we can get in the way of that. So it's kind of...
Well, it's a bit like modern psychiatry or psychology in that you go along to counselling perhaps and they're not going to tell you what to think. They're just going to ask you questions and bring it out of you, isn't it?
It's all person-centered. It's all client-centered.
Bring it out. Yep. That's right.
Yeah, we have it. It's just facilitating.
Just bring it forward and being feeling like you're in a space where you can sort of talk about it or think about it and to put in some, maybe either context or, you know...
Yeah.
It works. Tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to pick a card.
Okay.
Is that okay? If I could pick
a card
absolutely. Out of the deck and maybe you could read us the story or the message that comes with that card?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. You shuffle. I'll shuffle the cards.
Shuffle.
I'm going to shuffle in a card here. I'm shuffling. And I'm going to pick a card. And I've picked... Now, the card is a... Well, it's a beautiful photograph of... And it says sandbar on the top.
Oh,
so it's drifting. A sandbar, a photograph for sandbar, and on the bottom it says drifting.
Mm.
Okay.
What's the number on that?
The number is 4.
4? Okay.
Yeah.
You'd think I'd know my own deck. Okay, so the story. Come with me to the sea where we can be drifting. Imagine yourself in the deep, clear blue ocean, drifting on your back, supported by the vast sea. Watch the clouds float by. You are at peace in this tranquil place. Out of nowhere, a small squall comes, your peace shattered by a sense of panic. You stop trusting in your ability to float, your body rigid with a sense of doom, eyes shut tight against the formations in the sky. When you open your eyes, you see you have drifted far from the land. More panic as your awareness shifts from your heart to your head. You feel alone in this place, unsupported in unfamiliar territory. Instinct takes over, and you put your feet down, forgetting that you are out of your depth, to find them land softly on sand. Out in this unknown place, you have arrived at a sandbar, far from where you started, yet completely safe and looked after. Your peace returns as the storm shifts and you are able to make your way safely to shore. So the message is, have you been cut loose from your life as you know it? Let go and drift, complete in the knowledge that you are being looked after. Sometimes the way forward is not in a straight line. Allow life's currents to carry you. Trust that where you end up, your feet will firmly touch the ground. A lifeline may be extended to you. Trust the line to guide you safely to where you need to go.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
It's like doing Bowen in Coffs Harbour.
It's gentle and effective.
And you said that life wasn't, you said it wasn't a straight line. You said it was circular.
It is.
So we've just had that come through in that reading as well.
Yeah.
That's very nice. So this whole series of cards is available to, for people to, you produce these cards?
I do. I handcraft the decks, and they come packaged up with a booklet, a 56-page interpretation booklet,
okay,
and 45 cards in organza bags.
So people could use these. They don't have to necessarily have a reading. They could use them as a, as just a meditation, perhaps.
Is that sure?
Okay.
Yeah, and often, like the way I use oracles is often kind of at the beginning of the day during meditation or whatever, or any time where you're kind of like, you know, your head's kind of all over the place, not quite sure. You just want some clarity.
Yep.
And you can't kind of get out of your own way to find that clarity, you know? So oracle decks, I find, are a great way because they kind of like short circuit you in a way. They go, oh, that's right. They bring you back out of your head. And often I will just sit with them. Like, you can ask them questions. You can ask very specific questions, but I like to use them, you know, what do I need to hear or know for today?
Okay.
Kind of opens up, you know, to what does the universe want me to kind of keep a focus on or
great.
Hear? Yeah.
Mm, very interesting.
Kind of meditative.
And quite meditative. Yeah.
Yeah.
And beautiful photographs too.
Thanks.
And it's all hand done that you...
All hand done, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Most of them are from the place where, you know, my East Coast home.
Oh, okay.
Some are Australian, but most of them are from that place. So it was significantly healing for me to do them. And then to, like, I knew I needed to do them for me, but then I was getting quite like friends go, these are, you know, they were kind of resonating really strongly with them. So I started making up decks, you know, in batches of 5 or 10 or whatever, and selling them at markets or online.
Yeah.
Sell them online through Etsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Beautiful work. So you'll continue to do Bowen here in Coffs Harbour now and grow this Bowen business?
Yes.
In this
That's
paradise?
My plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
That's my intention.
That's your intention. Fantastic. That's great. Do you have a website or something like that? Can we put this in the show notes that people can maybe contact you if they, or even perhaps look at the
Absolutely.
Oracle cards online? Or do you have some sort of a...
I do. I have a website, www.theoceanoracle.com.
We'll pop that in the show notes.
Yep. And I do a weekly reading. So on that every week on a Sunday or Monday.
Is that audio or is it written?
That's just written.
Okay.
Yep. And then I connect that to my Facebook page, which is Facebook. I think it's Ocean Oracle because there's the Ocean Oracle.
We'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah. So you can like that page on Facebook and be the first to see the reading.
Oh, okay.
So the website, the Facebook page, Etsy shop, the Ocean Oracle.
Yeah. Right. Now we'll put all that in there so people can get hold of that if they want to have a link to it and see what it is. Look, thanks very much for having
Thank
chat
you,
to us
Chris.
On the Bowen Buzz.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming up to
visit. And it's my pleasure, and I look forward to hearing this Bowen business grow up here in Coffs Harbour?
I look forward to being able to tell you about how it's grown. Thanks Good for on. Your help.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, Chris.
This has been Chris Reed with Susan Marty on the Bowen Buzz. Enjoy the buzz.
You've been listening to another episode of the Bowen Buzz podcast. So I hope you've enjoyed that. If you'd like to ask a question or suggest someone we could interview, please let us know by going over to the comments page. And if you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, that'd help us get the word out there and spread the news about the Bowen Buzz podcast. This has been Chris Reed. Have a great day. Enjoy the buzz.